For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Finale of Bring Your Own, a catch-all bookish most of the time podcast. I'm Brandy.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Kayla.
And today we're going to do our 2024 recap, our best of, looking back at the year, all of our favorites, honorable mentions, and even some non-bookish stuff. So should be a lot of fun. Before we get started, what are we reading? What are we drinking? I can go.
Okay.
I am drinking a hot caramel latte, and I'm reading a lot of stuff right now. I am currently listening to Can't Help Falling by Cara Bastone, which is one of her three Harlequin romances, like her original three books. She talked about this on our episode. You guys should go listen. But that is number two in her Harlequin romances. I'm so glad that Kendra warned me ahead of time that these audios are so bad, because they are so bad, you guys. They're bad.
The guy's bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially the first one. When he started doing the, I'm not even going to do it. When he started doing the New Orleans accent, I was like, oh my God. Wow. But the stories are really good. I'm having a good time. I'm physically reading Destructively Mine by Kristen Becca Ritchie. I just started that one. I'm like only like 6 or 7% in, but it is book two in the Webs We Weave series. It comes out next year. I'm excited to read that one. And then I've currently paused, but not even like a soft DNF or anything. I'm still leaving it on like my tracker and everything. A Torch Against the Night. Kayla's giving me a stink eye. I just got fantasied out. I read so many fantasy books back to back to back to back to back. I just needed a little bit of romance in there. So I'll be jumping back in soon.
Okay.
Girl, I rated the first one 4.5 stars. Like, off my jock.
I didn't say anything.
I'll go. I just finished. Well, you know what? I'll save that for a little later. I am currently reading Deep End by Allie Hazelwood. I started it like 2 nights ago. We'll see how this goes. It's set at Stanford, and they're on the swim team. I think she should have just picked any other school if she was going to do a swim team, just because, like, I read Know My Name last year by Chanel Miller, and her rapist was on the Stanford swim team. So in my brain, that's all I'm kind of thinking about right now.
Yeah.
Other people won't have that problem. But I just thought, like, if I was her editor, I would have been like, pick any other D1 school that has a swim team. So that's just me. I think I'll be able to enjoy it, but I can't get that out of my head, because I'm like, fuck Stanford, bro. They are awful. And then I am listening to Flirting with Disaster by Nina Kumar. I don't know if I like it so far. I'm kind of like, ugh, about it, which is like sad, because I did like her first book that I read, Say You'll Be Mine. But in this one, it's one of those where, like, it's like a second chance romance. They get stuck in a... They're stuck in Houston during a hurricane because they need to get a divorce. But I don't know. I think it should be angstier. I think it should have been dual POV. It's one of those where, like, she probably knows more about the relationship but isn't putting it on the page. But, like, not in, like, a fun, like, mysterious way. And, like, a way that, like, oh, like, you just expect us to know this about them. But, like, you're not. I don't know. I don't know if I'll DNF it or if I'll finish it. But I've just, like, not been enjoying listening to it. And I'm not even that far in. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, that's a bummer.
Womp womp.
What was the thing you said you were going to save?
Oh, I was going to mention a book that I had just finished. It's called Damaged Goods by Kylie Hoover. It was Brandy's pick, second pick for my friend's TBR. And that book, you guys, was so good. But I'll talk about it more in a little bit. So, because we are talking about some of our favorite books that we love this year. And that book did make the list. So.
Yeah.
It's very good. Like, I haven't stopped thinking about it. It was so good.
It made my top 10 last year. So, it's very full circle.
I didn't say it made my top 10, but
I know, but like it's going to be a book you talk about on this episode.
It will. Yes.
There you go.
I didn't want to set you up.
I
didn't say what I was drinking.
Oh, yeah. What are you drinking?
It's nothing. It's not interruption worthy. Water. I'm just drinking water, but I have a liquid. I have a liquid IV in it. So.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. So it's amazing. Flavored water. A little different for me, you know. Right. OK. Sorry, Kayla. You can proceed. Okay.
I have a hot vanilla chai that I made today. It's very delish because it's cold. Actually, it's not even cold today. It's like 50 degrees. It's so nice today. But
that's freezing.
For December, that's so nice where I live. That's cool. Where I live. Mm-hmm. Thank you, climate change, for 50 degree weather days in December. But no, I am currently reading Deep End as well by Allie Hazelwood. Ooh. I'm only like... I think I'm on the fifth chapter or something like that. So, yeah, I didn't read the premise before starting this. So, no, I didn't at all. So, I like started it and I was like, oh, like it was just not at all what I was expecting. So, we'll see how this goes. And then I am listening to The Traitor Queen by Danielle L. Jensen. I read Bridge Kingdom last week or the week before. I can't remember when.
Why that face?
Can already say
because she gave it 4.25. Brandy was making stars.
A face. I gave it 4.25, but I can already tell you that I am liking this one like a lot more probably than the other one. And it's not even that I didn't like the Bridge Kingdom. I liked the Bridge Kingdom. I just think that this one is like more action packed to me, and I'm really enjoying it. So
we always talk about how when we start a book that one of us has read, and the person goes radio silent and doesn't send any updates, you're like, fuck. And that's how I felt. That's how I saw Kayla finish The Bridge Kingdom.
Okay, but no, I am.
I was texting you when I was reading Ember in the Ashes.
You know what's actually really funny? Is I have to pull details out of Kendra. Whenever she reads a book that I love, pull details. She just finished... This wasn't my pick, but she did just finish Elements of Cadence duology. It was like pulling teeth. Even though she says that she really, really likes him, give him 4.5 stars. Pulling teeth!
I did.
Anyway.
I did. I liked it. It was a good series. It's one of those things, though. Like, I'm just an observer. I didn't have an opinion. Like, I was just observing. What
I
was
get
happening.
Like that with books a lot. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, I was just observing.
Why?
What did you want from me, Kayla?
I wanted you to be like, I really, really like this character and blah, 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 for because of this
reason. I told you.
Her updates were this. He went to the house. That's the part that I'm at. And then this person did this. And that's where I'm at. That's where our update was.
Observing. I said, I liked both couples. I think I like the first couple more than the second couple. And that's what I told you. I did tell you that.
You said you liked them both equally.
Oh, well, maybe I didn't tell you that. I told. Anyways, what are you reading? What else are you reading?
That was it. That's all I'm reading. Oh, okay. But anyway. I will say I started it yesterday, Brandy. I'm already like 66% in.
Oh, hey.
Damn.
Literally.
So where were Brandy's updates?
For what?
For the book you're reading right now. Yeah.
I'm doing paint by numbers. Painting my house.
I'm busy.
I'm packing my house. I'm busy.
You can't put the paint. You can't just send a text like, oh my God, this is what I'm loving so far.
Have you gotten to the part where they're in the Oasis town yet?
I just got there.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. But I'm really liking it. So that's all I have to say.
Yay.
Starting off this episode strong. Already fighting.
It's going to be such a fun episode. I love when we like recap stuff like this. I'm very excited.
Me too.
Before we get into our actual top 10 books of the year, we do have like a couple like little rapid fire things that we want to go through as well. With it being the end of the year, everybody's got their Spotify Wrapped, and in my case, my Apple Music Replay. coming
out. It's okay, guys. We've gotten used to her being an Apple Music user. It's
fine. We love that about her.
There are plenty of great people who are Apple Music users.
I didn't say you weren't great.
Liz Tom 40, shout out. She's an Apple Music user. We talk about this sometimes. Where I'm like, oh my God, you're an Apple Music user? She's like, yes, girl. I like it so much better. I'm like, thank you. Appreciate you. Anyway.
You guys are like, you guys treat yourself like a minority class. Like you don't need to, like.
Just saying, Spotify always talks shit on us, so we got to stand up for ourselves. Okay, so let's just quickly go through some of our stats, specifically just like probably like our top artists and songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how many minutes you listened to, because we're big audiobook girlies, which takes away from your music listening. I'll go first. I listened to 30,222 minutes of music this year, and I found out that I was in like top 30% of people or something, or 30% of my listening this year was spent with my Spotify DJ.
Huh?
So shout out DJ X. I love him.
Love him bad.
I think this is like one of my lower years in terms of like minutes listened, but you know, that's because of all the audios I listened to. My top artists were Beyonce, Aubrey Drake Graham, Drizzy Drake, number two, number three, Ariana Grande. Number four, Charlie XCX. And number five, Sabrina Carpenter. I was like every other bitch this year. I love that. The only repeat offenders we have are Beyonce, Drake, and Ariana. They've all have been in my tops before in years past. So there you go. And my number one song, Good Luck, Babe by Chaperone.
Hmm.
Did not expect that. I think it's when we went to Readers Take Denver. That's all we were listening to. So I think it came from that. And I was the driver. So every time we were like driving to the hotel or driving around, it was like, can you put on Good Luck, Babe?
Yeah.
Of course. So I think that's why it's my top song.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Love that.
Brandy, what about you?
My minutes are really low this year, like lower than they have been for the past, like since they started doing Spotify Wrapped. I only listened to 9,893 minutes of music this year. Which is crazy. I've never been below 10,000. I don't even think I've been below 14,000 before, but it really is. It was the year of the audiobook for me. My top artists were Charlie XCX at number one, The 1975 at number two, Hozier at number three, Chapel Roan at number four, and Taylor fucking Swift at number five, which I feel like she's paying people, because you guys, her top song on my actual list isn't until 27. She doesn't show up until number 27 on my top songs of the year.
How frequently is she on your list, though?
She has been every fucking year. Like, it's...
No, I meant, like, on that top 100. How many songs does she have on your top 100?
I should go through and count. I don't know, but, it wasn't until 27. I was shocked to see her on there. Not because, like... I don't know. She's been on there in the past, but that's because I bump Folklore a lot, and I didn't listen to it very much this year, but all the songs that were on there were Tortured Poets Department. I didn't even like that album. Like, my number one song from her was Fortnite. I'm like, what the fuck? But
that's embarrassing. I can't even lie.
It's
give it to you
because it's the first song on the album. That's why I think, because I would like put it on shuffle. Also, it's school appropriate, and I do play that one for my students when they ask for Taylor Swift. Anyways,
if you go to the song, Brandy. Go to the song and then click to share it, and it'll tell you the actual number, because Spotify fucked up this year. So, like, in the middle of the list, they're not in order. So, was it legit number 27?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What? It's funny if it would be higher.
Yeah.
Like, actually,
it's number three. But my top song was Hot and Heavy by Lucy Dacus, which I am not surprised at all about, because I have that song on repeat, because that song to me is Shiloh and Carrie. From Slow Dance. Like, that's their song in my head. So anytime I'm missing Shiloh and Carrie, I put on Hot and Heavy.
Wow. Love.
Right.
Kayla.
And from the Apple Music user, I have...
You see? Like, minority
minutes.
Class.
I have 17,000 minutes, which is actually an improvement for me from last year. From the past 2 years, actually, I listened to 15,000 minutes, like, pretty much equally. In 23 and 22, but this year I listened to 17,000. But yeah, I know that that's like still on the lower side of people, but I don't know. I just don't listen to as much anymore. But my top artist was Kacey Musgraves, followed by The 1975, and then Taylor Swift, which those two right next to each other is kind of insane, but we move. And then 21 Pilots, Don't Make Fun of Me. And then number five is Charlie XCX. So Those were
big 21 Pilots fan, huh? Yeah.
And then my top song was neither of those, none of those artists actually.
Same, yeah.
It was Tiny Moves by Bleachers, which came out early in the year, and I like ran that song into the ground. I love that song so much. It's so catchy, so good.
I felt like my top songs were really reflective of what I was listening to this year. Not so much, well, my artists too, even, but like my top songs, I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's get into some book stuff now. So, disclaimer, before we start like getting into our top stuff of the year, we are recording this in like early, mid-December, so we're not quite done with the year yet, but I feel like, at least for me, I feel like my top 10 list is pretty solid. Like, I don't really see myself reading anything else that will make the list. Maybe it'll make an honorable mention, but yeah. I don't think it'll make my list, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, guys, who was your most read author this year? I already know the answer for you guys, but let's hear you say it anyway.
Mine's a tie.
Oh.
But the one that Kendra and I share is Cassandra Clare.
Mm-hmm. Who are you tied with?
Rainbow.
Or who's she tied with? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Rainbow Rowell, because I reread a bunch of her books this year as well. So I finished her backlist and then reread. I read 18 books by both of them.
God damn.
Sweet. Yeah, Cassandra Clare, crazy. I did 14. And then my next read author is Cara Beth Stone, which I did 12. But that includes some rereads of Ready or Not. So
mm-hmm. I forgot you did The Infernal Devices at the end of last year. I was like, 14? Yeah, so I didn't.
Yeah, so I'm missing three. I know. Sorry, Cassie, I'll reread soon.
Okay. Anyway, I... My top read author was not even close to that number. It was 6 by Saba Tahir. I read, wow. I was going to say her backlist, but that's actually not true because she still has one more book that I have not read, All My Rage, which is not included in the Ember and Ashes world. So I haven't read that one. But I read 6 of her books, followed by Abby Jimenez, which is with 5, but that was, I had like 2 rereads in there, so it doesn't really count. And then Cara Beth Stone at 4.
Cara was my number 3 with 9.
Nice. Love her.
Hey, girl.
Yeah. All right. And then how many books have you guys read so far this year? And how does that compare to last year?
I am sitting at 174 right now. I anticipate probably finishing 6 or 7 more books before the end of the year. So probably just over 180. Last year I read 178. So almost exactly the same.
Love that. I have read 154 books so far this year. I read 162 last year. So I will probably like come almost exactly like meet exactly what I did last year. Maybe. If not, I might be like a couple short. I might hit 160. I think at least I'll hit that. So pretty much the same for me.
So last year I read 138 books. Mm-hmm. The year before that, it was like 92. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this year, which is like, that's a big jump. And then this year, I'm at 159 books for the year.
Damn.
Yeah, so, so this will be my best reading year on record.
Wow.
Which, in terms of numbers, I was thinking about this. Quality-wise, last year I had trouble narrowing this list down. This year, I was like, oh, this is easy.
So, I thought it was going to be a lot harder than it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah. So, okay. So then like talking about your guys' list, putting those together. Yeah, I agree. Like I didn't really have a tough time putting my list together. In fact, I was talking with the girls about this before we recorded. I like had trouble finding a book to like put in my number 10 spot. Not because like I had a shortage of books that I enjoyed this year. It was more like, I have a huge list of honorable mentions, but I'm like, none of them are like
that top 10 feeling.
10, you know? Mm-hmm. So I kind of struggle with that, but I think I landed on something good. So,
slow dance?
Yeah. No, just not going to let you guys down. Like, actually, let me just leave it at no. No.
Okay. Can we break down our, like, what that number is, like, your number for the year so far? So for me, out of the 159 books that I've read, 102 have been audiobooks, 45 have been digital, and 13 have been physical. print books. So.
Oh my God, mine is almost the exact same. That's crazy. I have 93 audiobooks, 47 digital books, and 14 print books.
Okay, twin.
Mm-hmm. Of my 174, 140 audiobooks.
Wow.
Damn, that's crazy.
I always say this anytime we talk about this, but over the summer, I listened to 60 audiobooks between the months of June and August. So
wow,
that was part of it. So that, yeah, 140 audio, 22 digital, and 12 print.
Okay. We'll see how many audiobooks I'm able to knock out this month, because I am moving this month.
And yeah. Oh my God, I read so many when I was moving.
Yeah. I mean, like I said just yesterday, it's pretty rare for me to listen to 60% of one audiobook in a day. Like, I'm not as quick as these two when it comes to audiobooks. So that already right there, mm-hmm, for me was a big deal.
And still no updates to Brandy. That's crazy. 60% is a lot.
I will send one right after this.
Sounds good.
Okay. I love you.
Love you too. Should we get into our lists?
Yes.
Let's start with honorable mentions. So each of us is going to go around and share our entire honorable mentions list. We're going to maybe say a couple sentences about it, but not going too in-depth for our honorable, mm-hmm, mentions. And then we'll, mm-hmm, go round robin for our top tens. Who wants to go, yes, first for honorable mentions?
I'll go. Okay. I broke this up. There are two parts. So starting off strong, we have the arcs that I am like 100% positive will be on my list next year in my top 10. I've already read my favorite book of 2025 in 2024, and that is Promise Me Sunshine by Cara Bestone. And I don't think it's fair for me to include it on this year's list because then I won't get to talk about it next year, and I think it's more important to talk about it next year. So I already read my favorite book. So that's an arc that won't be included in any of my top 10 posts this year, but that's my book, you know? And then Swept Away by Beth O'Leary. I love that, mm-hmm, book. I have not stopped thinking about it. And I think once I revisit it next year, it will stay within that top 10 list. Like, I think it'll be hard to beat. So those are out of the way. And then my honorable mentions, I have seven. Defy the Night series. I just did this all on audio. It is so fun. I am going to read Bridget Kimmerer's other series now, which is like A Curse So Dark and Love Lonely, whatever. Lonely. Yeah, it's a long title. So I loved it. I thought it was so fun. If you want like low, it's fantasy. I don't even consider it fantasy. There's no magic. There's no none of that. They just live in a kingdom, and the kingdom is sick. So I had a good time. I have not something to say about it. And then Margot's Got Money Troubles. We all read this earlier this year. I really enjoyed it, and then I kind of forgot about it. I'll be sat for the TV show, though. I'm very excited. But I did enjoy that, and it was a great audiobook performed by one of the best actresses of our time. Mm-hmm. Elle Fanning. Love you, girl. The Flat Shear by Beth O'Leary. I thought this was fantastic. Another great audiobook. Every Time You Hear That Song by Jenna Voris. This is a YA queer, like, what's the word? Not adventure. It's just it's like Evelyn Hugo meets, I don't know, modern day Dolly Parton. Like, it's just a really fun time. And another good audiobook, Play Along by Liz Tomforti. Mm-hmm. That was a good time. I actually, mm-hmm, want to reread that before the end of the year. Because that was
buddy reread. I think fondly.
Bro, we should, because I had a good time. Like, and I remember I finished the book, and then that day I went to a baseball game. So it was just like,
yeah,
meant to be, I think it, you know? I don't know what it was about that specific time, but yeah, I think like everybody just had such a good, like, reading experience with, yeah, that book. Yeah. It was like, it was so fun.
And I was nervous because I didn't enjoy Caught Up that much. So, mm, I was like, oh, like, is she like a one hit wonder with the right move? No, she's two hit wonder. She proved me wrong. And then Into the Dark by Jessa Hastings. My reasoning for this not being on my top 10, because this is truly one of the best books I read this year, but it feels so incomplete not having Daisy's story or companion novel to go along with this. Mm-hmm. And so I just can't. It's like in a different part in my brain. I just can't make that list.
Yeah.
But it's so good. And that reading experience was amazing. And I cried so much. And I loved it.
Oh my God.
And then lastly, Damaged Goods by Talia Hibbert made my honorable late edition.
Mm-hmm.
This was so good. I texted Brandy and Lomi last night, and I was like, maybe my soulmate or anyone listening, maybe your soulmate is not your baby daddy. It's the man that you get with after. Because truly, what a good man.
Are you saying you should get pregnant right now then? Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I'm saying at all. Okay. I'm saying that if you are with someone right now and you're like, I don't know if this is going to work out. It doesn't have to work out. You can go be with your soulmate. Your soulmate does not need to be your baby daddy. And I feel like if so many girls knew that, they would be free. Oh my God, they would be free. Samir is such a good man. Like, and I loved it.
Man.
And it's a novella and she just packed such a punch. And like my chest just felt like so warm towards the end. And they were hot. Like Talia Hibbert's really good at smut. And she writes smut in third person. So like, honestly, what a gift. And it was a good time. So that is my honorable mentions list. I loved all of those books. I'm honestly probably missing some because I did read a lot this year.
Yeah. But
those are like the ones that like really stuck out besides the ones that are on my top 10.
I love that. Okay. So I did include arcs that come out next year in my top 10. You're
a brave soul.
I know. I don't know. I find myself like I had this issue with Yours Truly. Like I didn't talk about it in 2022 because I was like it comes out in 2023. But then I didn't really register that I needed to rank it in 2023. So it just never made a list. So I'm doing it the year I read it from now on. Mm-hmm. So, but
okay.
In my honorable mentions, I will start with the two that were the closest to making it into my top 10. The Wedding People by Allison Espach was very close to making it into my top 10. That book's just so good. I had so many feelings while I was reading it. Like that's the kind of book that I talk about wanting to read all the time where it like impacted me and like I thought about that book so much. And then Ready or Not by Cara Bastone was really close to making my top 10. It did not, but it was very close. I really love that book. Obviously I didn't rate that book 5 stars, you guys. Like you guys did.
That's a little insane to me.
You didn't
personally.
Really? I don't remember that, but
I rated it 4.75. That's not my only Cara book on this list. Okay.
Well, obviously we know your other one, but like, that's crazy.
It's in my honorable mentions.
I know, but like.
You are fine for that, Brandy.
No, you're valid. You're respected.
Okay. Jesus. Okay.
I just wasn't expecting that. That was a lot.
You were expecting that book to make my top 10?
Yeah, I thought so.
That's so interesting.
You reread it a lot. Like.
Yeah. I love that book.
No.
Okay. I believe you, Brandon.
No, I believe you too.
I read a lot of really great books this year. I'm sorry. Half of my top 10 list are books you recommended to me, Kendra. So don't even with me right now. Also on my honorable mentions, Summer Romance by Annabelle Monaghan. Mm-hmm. I think that book was so fun and flirty and cute. Play Along by Liz Tomforti was also on my honorable mentions. Just such a great time. Attachments by Rainbow Rowell. I reread that recently and it was even better the second time. Like that book was so good. And Dishonestly Yours by Krista and Becca Ritchie was another honorable mention. That book was just like so fun and I was really surprised by it because I did not like the Like Us series very much. So it was a really fun surprise to like jump into a new series by them and be like, this is so fun.
Yeah, you're like worried that like after the Addicted series, that was like all that they had, you know, so
yeah,
that's nice. Okay, my honorable mentions. Yeah, I'm in the same boat as Kendra. I'm not including any 2025 reads or rather, I should say any books that come out in 2025, because there were several that I read this year that come out next year that I definitely think will make my top 10, Promise Me Sunshine being one of them. I also want to mention a couple more. I don't know if they'll make my top 10, but they were so, so, so good that you should definitely keep your eye out for. Left of Forever by Tara DeWitt. So, so good. Love that. Passion Project by London Sperry. Swept Away by Beth O'Leary. And then Our Infinite Fates by Laura Stephen, I thought was so good as well.
That's not out yet?
No, it comes out in like February, I think. So not far till it comes
out. A lot of people read that arc then. I feel like I saw so many people reading it. Okay.
It's really interesting. I've seen people say that it's kind of like a mix of Divine Rivals and Addie LaRue.
Which one?
Our Infinite Fates.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't read Addie LaRue, so I can't
necessarily
say.
I think you
should. No, I haven't.
Do you need to make bookish content?
I know,
you didn't read that.
But from what I know of Addie LaRue, I can understand why people are saying that. So if you like those two books, maybe check it out.
Really wonder if you would like Addie LaRue. I feel like I read it so early in my bookish social media journey. Same. So I don't know if I would like it as much now.
If it holds up to how your tastes have changed.
Yeah. It's so beautifully written, though. I think, like, you would love the writing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious because I haven't read books by her before, by V.E. Schwab. So, I'd be curious. But my honorable mentions, getting into those. Similarly, I also have Play Along by Liz Tomforti on my list. Twins. I have As Long as the Lemon Trees Grow by Zulfa Kato. That was such a great audiobook. I think what's going on, like, in the world, like, socially, in the present times, I think it's very relevant right now. Blue Sisters by Coco Mellers. I really, really liked that book. It was incredibly sad, but it was really good, especially, like, the ending. And as someone who has a lot of sisters, I really enjoyed this book. And then The Daughter of No Worlds trilogy by Carissa Broadbent. I really enjoyed this trilogy. It really took me by surprise, actually. It's not that I wasn't expecting to like it. I think I was not expecting to like it as much as I did, mm-hmm. especially the first book. I think the second book is my favorite. Maybe. But they're so good. Max and Tisana. I love them so much. But that was such a great series. So those are my honorable mentions.
Love.
Oh my god.
Top 10.
Okay.
None of us know what is on each other's top 10 list. Mm-hmm. There's already been a jump scare today. So, like, we literally don't know what will make it. I think we'll know at least each other's, like... Actually, Kayla, I don't know what your top will be. But I know what Brandy's top will be. You guys know what my top will be.
Oh, yeah. I know what your guys' top is going to be. Easy.
The rest will be surprising. So...
Yeah.
Who wants to go first with their number 10?
Do we want to go in the same order that we did our honorable mentions in? So... Kendra, Brandy, myself.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Okay. Kendra.
And then do you want to do it how we do, like, a snake draft?
No. Oh, well, actually, yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah,
sure.
That way you can. Okay.
Yeah. Why not? Kendra, please grace us with your number 10. Kick us off. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
My number 10 book of the year, which honestly I didn't think it was going to make it, but after much evaluation, it had to make it. It is Just for the Summer by Abby Hall.
Oh, yay!
Yeah.
Oh, that's so true. I didn't even, like, think about it not being mentioned. Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to make it, but then, like, I really had to sit with it again. And I really enjoyed that book. And also because I just read the arc of her book that comes out next year. So reading Say You'll Remember Me, I was like, oh, yeah, Just for the Summer. Like, Just for the Summer deserves to be in my top 10. We will have lots of thoughts on Say You'll Remember Me when it comes out. We could honestly probably dedicate a whole episode to it. But next year, we'll get to it. But yeah, Just for the Summer is my number 10. Justin and Emma, love them. What a great couple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great first one. My number 10 was Old Enough by Haley Jacobson. I read that one via audio after Kayla and Kendra. And that book just meant a lot to me. For a lot of reasons, but especially, you know, there was, like, some extremely relatable things in that book that were handled so, in my opinion, beautifully and delicately and realistically, which is a huge thing for me. It's a lit fic book. I think about Sab all the time. I hope she's well. I hope you're okay, girl. But yeah, I really enjoyed that one. So that's my number 10.
My number 10 might surprise you guys because it was in my honorable mentions. But again, I had trouble figuring out, like, what I wanted to put at number 10. But I think after much deliberation, I have decided that my number 10 is Wisteria by Adeline Grace. Now, I know that might be a little bit shocking because, like, I didn't rate this book 5 stars, but I just love that series so, so, so much. And this book was, like, just really romantic. It was definitely the most romantic of the three. And even though, like, Cigna and Death are, like, those are my people. Those are my people. I will lay down my life for them. Mm-hmm. I still just, like, just the series as a whole. I love it so much. I'm so excited for the Christmas novella next year. I need to see everybody happy and just like hanging out, having a grand old time. But I really love that book too. And that is why it is my number 10.
Love it.
Okay.
What's your number 9?
And then my number 9 is, this is actually, well, by the time this episode is out, this book will be out in the world. It is Definitely Better Now by Ava Robinson. I read that book as an ARC in the, no, I read it in when I was in Montana traveling, and I have the physical ARC of it, and I was reading it in the car, and that is such like the perfect book to me in terms of like women's fiction / romance. There were also lots of aspects of it that reminded me of The Simple Wild. I'm not going to say how or what, but you do the math in your head. And I think that's another reason why I really liked it. But it's about, if you don't know, about this woman who is celebrating 1 year sober in New York City. And it's basically just like her journey of kind of getting back on the horse. What does life look like now, you know? There's also a lot of familial aspects of it. Again, there is a little romance, which was so... it was so cute and so good. It like was like, it just gave me all the like the feelings that like I want to get out of a book that has romance in it, you know? So I really, really love that book, and you should definitely go read it. And it's also narrated by Carissa Vacker. So if you like Carissa Vacker, go check out the audiobook.
I love that. I will check out the audiobook once it's out.
Thank you.
My number 9, Don't Shoot, is Funny Story by Emily Henry. I loved that book. I loved the experience I had reading that book. I reread it this year and I loved it the second time too. I just had a great time reading that book, and that's my truth. It is my number 9. I love Daphne and Miles, and I've gone numb to people's commentary about them. Like, there's nothing you can say that would make me feel differently about them. So, yeah, they're good. My number you. 9.
Stand on that.
They didn't Brandy. Even make your honorable mentions, Kayla. That's crazy.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't know. Maybe you saying that, I don't know. We'll see.
That's fine.
But I still really like that book. I still really like that book.
It's okay. But here's the thing. I don't think I'm in the minority of people who liked this book, but in our friend group, I am. So that's why I feel like I'm like maybe the only person in the world who likes this book. But like, this is like one of Joe's favorite books ever. This is like, I've seen a lot of people saying that.
Our friend Izzy loves this book. Yeah. And I really like this book. I rated it 4.5 stars, to be clear.
So I had a great time reading this book. Go ahead, Kendra.
Kendra, what's your number 9?
Hold on. It just makes me think of, there's a clip of Lil Wayne. He's like being interviewed. They're telling him like the top rappers that like made this list.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Who made the list?
Not Eminem.
Who else made the list?
Not Eminem?
Eminem.
Gucci made it, but not Eminem?
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. That was my reaction to that. I love that for you. You did love that book. And I love when my friends love their books. Sorry, he did take a whacking on my Instagram stories a few weeks ago, which was I thought I had a good time.
Wish I would have screen recorded how many things I typed out to you that I just ended up deleting, because I was like, I don't want to fight with you over Miles right now. Like, I just don't have it in me. But
it was just perfect, because like I found, just like I was just scrolling through like my meme folder and I saw the ooh bitch instead.
Kendra, what is your number 9?
Sorry. My number 9 is The Wedding People by Allison Espach. I really enjoyed this book. I love when a literary fiction book that I think is going to end badly doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
For a book that was filled with such with an exploration of dark themes, it filled me with a lot of hope at the end. And I think those are just like the best books to read. And a very good like observation of people. There's so many different, like, it's just a very messy book, but in a good way. And I found a lot of the characters, when they were doing like disgusting things, to be very relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not normal. Like, they weren't caricatures of themselves. Like, you could tell they were real people going through real stuff, even though they were doing horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why The Wedding People is my number 9. I think I did most of my list on audio, but yeah, number 9 I did on audio. And it was one of the first books I read when I first moved back to Texas this year. So I will always think fondly of it.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. What about your number eight, Kendra?
Okay, my number eight is Definitely Better Now by Ava Robinson. I love this book. It is a debut. I found it just by scrolling on NetGalley one day and I saw the cover. It is red with a girl slumped over on a couch with like takeout mm-hmm. containers and like, and I was like, that's interesting. And I saw that she was 26, my age, and she was celebrating 1 year sober. And I was like, oh, okay, slay. Read it, was completely moved by it. The fact that this is Ava Robinson's debut, I'm like, ah, like mm-hmm. you are cooking. Like, I think she has a bright future ahead of her. And there are just so many lines in that book that I found just like so, like, she's just a good writer. Like, I love when mm-hmm. I read people who are just like good writers. That's why, like, I'm glad you're doing the audio, Brandy, but like a part of me wishes you were just reading it physically, because like to see her like work on the page, like it's like when we read Promise Me Sunshine, like seeing Kara on the page, you're like, oh, like this bitch is actually writing. Okay. You know, like it's
maybe
not,
I will do the like, physical yeah. then. Yeah, I don't have a huge physical TBR right now once I finish Just Honestly Yours, so maybe I will.
Yeah, I mean, you do you. I think Carissa will do good, but I don't know, that was a very, it took me like 2 weeks to read it too. I was taking my sweet time, and I mm-hmm. think that was just like, It was like my nighttime book. It was a good experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a good time. That was a good book.
Love. My number eight is Into the Dark by Jessa Hastings. I thought about not including this one in my top 10. This was one I was really on the fence about because mm-hmm. exactly what you were saying, Kendra, when you talked about it in your honorable mentions. It is the end of a story, but also there was just so many questions. There are so many questions for that book still left unanswered. And it's kind of in a league of its own in the same way to me that like Some Kind of Perfect is in a league of its own. Like, obviously there's so, that book was absolutely necessary to be Jane Magnolia's story. That was not an epilogue book by any means. There was so much that needed to happen in that book that did, but it felt different. It felt different to include in a top 10, but I did because I think about them a lot. And I don't know, that reading experience was just like the best. Like the three of us were just, you know, binging mm-hmm. that book, like sobbing our yeah. eyes out, like sending so many crying selfies and dehydrated as fuck and trying to sneak yeah. in reading whenever we could.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just yeah. the best. So I included it a lot for the experience and also mm-hmm. just because, I don't know, it felt weird not to not for me. So mm-hmm. with the other books that are on this list, I'm like, I have to include Into the Dark.
Okay, and then my number eight is Summer Romance by Annabelle Monaghan. I have two, like, straight romances in a row on my list, and I read this book on audio in the summer. I think it was at the beginning of summer, yeah, and it was, like Brandy kind of said in her honorable mentions, it's exactly, like, what I want a romance to be. It's so, like, it just made me feel really good inside. I also love stories about recently this is becoming a theme with me. I love stories about recently divorced single mothers with two kids that are kind of picking up their lives.
Are you trying to tell us something?
No.
And like I said, your soulmate is not here, no. Baby daddy.
I love my husband, to be clear. But like, you know, I think that this book and Is She Really Going Out With Him by Sophie Cousins are like sisters. They're like yeah. the American version and then the British version. But no, I really love this book. It was so fun. I just like really like women kind of rediscovering themselves.
Yeah, it's a really fun dynamic to read about. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So that is my number eight. And then my number seven is another romance with a romance also in the title. It's One Star Romance by Laura Henkin. Again, listen to on audio. Love that book so much. Love all of the different dynamics, the relationships between all of the people in it, not just the two main characters, but also the side characters, Angus and Gabby. Mm-hmm. Is that her name? Thank you. I was like, Gabby. I don't want to be a big fan. That book is so, so good, narrated by the author. And I know Kendra says she feels a little too seen by Natalie. Yes. But I mean, I'm not in that same boat. I guess I'm more of a Gabby than I would be an Angus. Wow. But like, I totally get what you're saying. And even though, you know, I obviously can't relate specifically to Natalie, again, we've said this before, like when we were talking to Tara DeWitt, you don't have to relate to a character's experiences to still enjoy what they're going through and appreciate that and, you know, learn from them. And so I loved this book for everything that it was. I thought it was so, so good. And if you hate on Natalie, then
you hate me.
You hate Kendra. So what are you going to do about
that? And if you hate Kendra, you hate us. You hate me. Period.
That's so funny. Anyway, that's my number 7 and 8.
That's a great book. My number 7 was Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez. I read that book twice this year. It was really great both times. I loved it. I think Emma is a character I relate to so much. Like, anytime I think of characters I relate to, I think of Sage from Savor It by Tara DeWitt and Emma from Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez. And I don't know. I just love her. I love her flaws. I love everything about her. And I love Justin too. But it's hard to like dislike an Abby hero. So, and it's like, I don't dislike Abby heroines either, but I don't know. Something about Emma like really, really hit for me.
Yeah.
And
was that Alexis shade?
No, like, oh. You guys, I don't hate Alexis. I don't. She is my least favorite heroine. That might not be true anymore. I don't know. I just loved Emma. I loved their story.
Yeah.
I thought the like side plots outside of the romance that were going on, not necessarily side plots, but the stuff that was happening outside of the romance in that book, mm-hmm. was so well done and like really unique in a romance book, in my opinion. Like, when Abby's on, she's on. And that book was so good.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
My number 7 is Old Enough by Haley Jacobson. Mm. This was recommended to me by our friend Alice, friend of the pod, for my friend's TBR. And it's so funny because when the book came out last year, I got like the arc of it and I just let it sit there because I was like, this is too, I can't read this right now.
I remember
right
that
like,
sitting in your Denver apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is too heavy. Because I just read Know My Name by Chanel Miller and the subject matter is similar. And then this year, Alice recommended it to me, and I was like, okay, I'll do it. So glad that I did. Everything that Brandy said, like, it was just handled so well and, like, realistically, because there are choices that are made that, like, they just can't be made any other way, even if they make you upset. But you know that it's, like, ultimately best for everyone involved. And, yeah, the narration is good. It's honestly fantastic. I think that's, like, what made the book, because it felt... Savannah's in college and I felt like it was a college student reading it to me. Like, the voice felt young. It wasn't like the typical female narrator type that you get. So I just thought it was fantastic, and it's Haley's debut as well. So I'm excited to see what she does next. I know her next book is like, I think, coming out next year or the year after, and mm-hmm. it's going to be about a girl that has OCD, which I think Haley herself also has. So she puts a lot of herself into her books, and I think sometimes I'm like, oh, don't do that. But with her, I think it helps because you can tell she cares a lot of what, like, what she's talking about. So
mm-hmm. that's a great way of describing it. Yeah, I completely agree. Mm-hmm.
My number 6 is Heavy Hitter by Katie Cotugno. Holy fuck. I love this book so much. Kayla didn't. She actually hated it. But
I didn't hate it.
I love this book. My reading experience was so much fun. It was a book that I was anticipating since last year. For those that don't know, Heavy Hitter is inspired by the whirlwind romance that of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. So it follows a pop star who gets involved with a baseball player who's sort of on his like last leg in the league right now. And they just hit it off and they're very hot. And they both are just like going through some shit in their personal lives. And Katie, to me, is really, she is very good at like social commentary. And so the commentary that she like makes about not just like Taylor Swift, just about being a pop star in general, I think was like very good to see and like vital and wasn't done in like an icky way. There are so many Taylor Swift knockoff books out there. But this one, like I was talking to our friend Bernie, it didn't feel that way at all, at least to us. Like Lacey, the main character, was just like her own person, and you can just like draw the similarities because she happens to be a pop star. And Katie writes the messiest characters on planet Earth, which makes her books so entertaining. Like, I loved my reading experience. I was in Colorado. It was hot. It was dead summer. I would sit at the pool. The characters were hot. I was hot at the pool. Like, it was just, it was amazing. And another baseball romance. I think I read this really close to Play Along as well. So I just, what a good book. I loved it.
Yay.
The cover sucks. If this book had a better cover, oh my God, it'd be a New York Times bestseller. I don't know who designed the cover, but they need to be fired because this needed a people cover. Katie used to have the best people covers in the game, and now she just gets these like ugly cartoon ones. Anyways, love you, Katie. Love that book.
Love you, girl. My number six is Margot's Got Money Troubles. This book was so good. I remember exactly what I was doing. I was working like my summer painting job, and I just binged the fuck out of this book. I could not put it down. Like, I was obsessed with knowing what was happening next, and I don't know, I just thought it was so funny. I think that Ruthie Thorpe is like so good at writing humor. Like, there was moments where I was like laughing out loud, and I love how topical it was without being cringy. Like, TikTok is a massive part of this book, but it wasn't like, oh, this is somebody who knows nothing about the app writing about it. Like, it was actually just so good. And I love main characters who like were figuring it out with them. Like, Margot really thought she had her shit together, and then her life just like like, I think about the fact at the beginning she's like, I can do this by myself all the time, and then just getting her absolute shit rocked. And I don't know, the familial relationships in there, I cannot wait to see it on screen. Like, her mom, her dad, like her roommates, the people she's making content with, like, I can't wait. Like, I just had the best time reading this book. So that's my number six.
Slay.
My number six is Magnolia Park's Into the Dark. I totally get what you guys are saying about, like, you're hesitant to include it because it doesn't have its counterpart. I was hesitant to include it for a different reason, because, you know, I've seen people's criticism about the book that it's too long, that it's kind of repetitive. And I, like, totally, once I, like, take a step back from the book, I can see that.
Yeah.
But, but again, I think because of the reading experience that we had, it doesn't really bother me, especially because, like, in real life, if I were to be experiencing the same things that Magnolia is experiencing, I don't know. You know, I'm sure that there's a cycle, a repetitive cycle that happens with your parents, with, spoiler, 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 skip ahead 30 seconds, with losing a sister. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know what that's like, and I'm sure that there are moments that feel like you're going through the exact same thing, and so I can't really fault that for, you know, being written the way that it was. But yeah, the reading experience we had where we zoomed through that 700-page book in like 2 days,
That's crazy.
And like Randy said, we were like, I was like working, and they were reading, and I was like, anytime I didn't have a meeting, I would just like try and slip in a few chapters, you know, because I was just like so like feral for it. And then yeah, the ending with, you know, Magnolia and BJ's story, it was so beautiful, and I love them so much.
BJ, I'm so excited we get to do that two more times.
I know. Yeah.
Girl. No, we don't. The book, like, those books are not coming out.
I believe it.
Say that. I
believe it.
Throw myself. No, because also her next book coming out, the Will book, Confessions of Will, whatever. Why is Bloom publishing it? I thought it was indie.
I think she signed a deal with them before.
So never. I'm just like, what's her Dutton? Does she not owe y'all some money at this point? Make her write the book. Oh, she.
I don't know. Anyway, that's my number six. I hope
her next book, regardless.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Thank you, Kayla.
My number five is Ready or Not by Kara Beth Stone. Listened. I have three books I read in January that I rated 5 stars are all on this list. I've already said 2 of them. I, you know, it's no secret that I was a little bit of a harsh critic this year, at least with 5 stars. I don't think I was like really that harsh with anything else. It was mostly just my 5 stars.
Yeah, you weren't dragging books. Yeah.
No. I was just, no, I wasn't dragging books. But anyway. So yeah, that one is my number five. Obviously, Kara Beth Stone, we all fell in love with her this year and her writing and the way that she writes humor mixes that with like the earnestness of the romance. And I cannot wait for everybody to read Promise Me Sunshine. It, you know, like Brandy and Kendra have both said, already in top 10, if not top 3, if not top, you know. So yeah, she's just fantastic. She's so talented and everybody should get on the train.
Yeah, that's if Promise Me Sunshine was on my list this year, it would have cleared, I think, maybe all of them, if I'm being 100% honest. So
I can see that for you. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. My number five is a book that does not come out until next year. It is Left of Forever by Tara DeWitt. I got to beta read this one, and it was such a fun experience. I was one of the people who, when I read Savor It, the tiny little slivers mm-hmm. of Ellis and Ren that we got in Savor It, that was like really sticking out to me. I just, yeah, I don't know. I love those characters. I loved the story. I had such a fun time. And I don't want to say too much about it, but there is a specific line in that book that I think about all the time. So, yeah.
I'm so excited for the audiobook.
Me too. Me too. But yeah, had a great time with that one.
My number five is Love Unwritten by Lauren Asher. This was the first book I read this year, technically. That reading experience, that was a week for me because I did Love Unwritten and then we jumped right into the dark and it was like double whammy, me being on that couch all by myself. Like, and this is before I got Julian, so like it was just me and Ellie and Rafa. When I tell you I went feral over them, I created this like big ass Pinterest board. Like, I could not get them out of my head. And there is just a gesture that is done in that book that is still one of the sweetest, most romantic things that I've ever read this year. And I really love them. It is my personal favorite book of hers. I know that's an unpopular opinion. I don't really give a fuck. I love that book and I'm so excited for book 3 and I don't know. I love it. I loved Ellie's story. I love everything that she went through, everything she overcame. It was fantastic. My number 4 is One Star Romance by Laura Hinken. We've already waxed poetic about this book. I love this book. Oh my gosh. It was fantastic. Amazing on audio. Natalie and I are one of the same. I love my friends more than I love anything else on this planet. And unfortunately, I will act just the same as her. The day that Madison gets married, that's going to be a dark day for me. It's just, I love that, like, it talks a lot about, like, late in life success. Because I think that's something, like, I've been struggling a lot with of, like, oh, I thought I was going to be, like, a certain place already in my life. And, like, Natalie struggles a lot with that, too. Like, you work so hard at something and then it doesn't hit right away and you just keep trying and keep trying. So, yeah, I really love that. On a reread, I focus more in on that aspect of, like, you don't have to have it all figured out in your 20s. Who gives a fuck? Like, you'll figure it out when you figure it out. And I love that. She figured it out.
Yeah.
It was a good book. And I love Rob. Rob is such a great friend. Like, from the jump, when you learn how he and Angus became friends, you're like, what a guy. Like, truly, what a guy.
Yeah. My number 4 is another book that does not come out until next year. I did include Promise Me Sunshine on this list. I loved this book. It was, I don't know, just such an incredible reading experience. I read the physical arc, which I typically don't read physical arcs. I usually read digital arcs, but I read this one like a book in hand, like turning the pages. I read it really fast. I think I read it in like under 50 hours, like, you know, just over 2 days worth of reading. And I just, I don't know. And then I have looked at my highlights so often since finishing this book, because you learn something that makes you want to go back and reread a lot of stuff. And I don't know. I think about them all the time. Everything that Kara posts about them, I'm like, yeah, yeah.
Repost.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Like literally I'm just nodding. I just, yeah, I think that book's incredible. I can't wait for everybody to read it. It comes out in March of next year, so you don't have to wait too long. I will be rereading via audio. I probably will do another physical reread, if not just like flipping through my highlights again. Yeah, so good.
My number four is, okay, now I feel like we're kind of at the point where we can like maybe start to guess, like just based on what we haven't included.
Kayla, your list has shook me the whole time so far. Really? So I don't even want to guess.
Really?
Yeah.
What have you been shocked by?
You said Summer Romance, and I was like, oh, we did read that book this year. That was in your honorable mentions, book. I know, but like, I was like, oh.
No, that was in my honorable mentions. That was Kayla's number eight.
Oh, okay, so I got y'all flipped still. Yes. I was like, oh.
Okay. No, so my going. Number four, and I get whacked for this one because I initially didn't rate it 5 stars, but then I did.
So dance?
The Axe Files.
Oh. Ah, annoying.
Yeah. It was The X-Files by Jessica Joyce. Yeah. If you've been listening to this podcast for a little bit, you know that Jessica Joyce is my girl. I miss you on Instagram, Jessica, but I fully respect and understand your decision to leave. I totally respect it. I love you so much. But yeah, I loved this book. I read her debut before it came out last year, and I really enjoyed it, partially because of like where they were going, the destinations that they were going. I was experiencing it like almost at the exact same time, so it was just like really fun to read about. It was just a fun reading experience for me. But this one, like for me, like what a great sophomore book. I think that she has, like, you can already tell how much she as a writer has improved just from her first to her second book. I know she's not coming out with a book in 2025, but I'll be sad for whatever she does. Also, read her novella, her Christmas novella, if you haven't. It was so good.
I just did.
And it was so cute.
I'll give her stars. That was good.
It was good. Thank you. But yeah, I love this book. It's a second chance romance about two friends who are trying to help their other friends with a wedding that's essentially falling apart. And I don't know. I think that Eli and George's story, especially George's story, I think is so relatable for a lot of people. The fear of kind of being forgotten by your friends as you grow older and as you like move around and you move on with your life, you know. So loved that. Loved this book so much. I love you, Jessica. Okay. And then my number three is Dress for the Summer by Abby Jimenez.
Okay.
See, Kendra, don't.
I'm
don't
now say that words. You said that, I was like, oh, I'm shocked it wasn't like
that you hadn't said it yet.
I'm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Fair.
Of all the romances on this list, I do think that I think about this book more than the others, which is why I put it at number three. And, you know, it's still not my favorite, like my absolute favorite Abby book. Part of Your World still holds that title and will probably still hold that title for a while. But again, like Brandy said, when Abby is on, she is on. And Emma is my favorite female character by her, I think, by far. And this book just like made my heart ache in like every which way, like being sad, or I was like squeezing my heart because everything was so sweet, or just like it just felt like one of her most realistic stories, I feel like. And they were just like doing, like we've talked about this before, how they were just doing mundane, very simple things, but everything that they did, especially when it came to the romance, felt so big and like almost like a grand gesture, even though it was so small. It seemed small. So yeah, I love this book so much. I reread it also on audio when it came out. I read it in January and then I reread it as soon as it came out in audio. Same. So good.
Yeah. So good.
That's number three.
My number three.
Okay, can I guess? It's definitely a Cassie Clare book. Right?
Yeah, I'm gonna cheat.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'm gonna put the entire Shadowhunters Chronicles at number three. But I will list my top three books in the Shadowhunters.
Spoiler alert, that's my exact number three. Get out. It's written.
So yeah, number three for me is the entire Shadowhunters Chronicles. Kendra and I have talked. I'm not going to keep going about this, but like, you guys, if the richest world building, I think, of any fantasy series I've ever read, like, just even the stuff where she does leave little plot holes, like she'll make fun of herself for it, or like, I don't know. She's just like effortlessly funny in these books. The characters are so lovable. The action is so good. Most of the big bads are like actually big bads that you would be terrified of facing. I don't know. I could go on and on and on, but I won't. But my top three, my favorite book in that whole universe is Queen of Air and Darkness, which is the third book in the Dark Artifices. So that's my top one. My number two is Chain of Iron from Last Hours, which surprised me. I was not expecting that to bunk any of them. Yeah. And my number three, it's really hard for me to pick between Lady Midnight, which is the first book in Dark Artifices, or Clockwork Princess. But for the variety for today, I'll say my number three is Clockwork Princess, which is the last one in the Infernal Devices. I'm so sad that Kendra and I are so fucking annoying about this series, because I just know Kayla would love it and it hurts my heart. That's never going to happen. But that's okay. I love it enough for the both of us, Kayla. And I'm just so grateful that I went on this journey this year. I too was a non-believer. I was not going to read the rest of them because I too did not want to read Mortal Instruments. That 6-book series, the original series of the Shadowhunters universe. But I'm so glad I did over the summer. And honestly, now that I finished the entire universe, like, I look back on those books very fondly, even though I rated like a couple of them 3 stars. You know, I love the experience. I have a couple more books that are in the universe, but not part of a series in the universe, not part of any of the main ones that I have saved for myself to read another time. But yeah, thanks for making me read it, Kendra.
You're welcome. And to no surprise, my number three is also the Shadowhunters universe. I did the Infernal Devices at the end of last year, and I was just completely like blown away, and then I shoved it down these two girls' throats. One yielded positive results, and the other hated herself. So, or hated me, not herself, hated me. I love Shadowhunters. I think Cassie Clare is just so good. Like, mother, like when you think of that, like, oh, mother, like she's mother. And for her to be like a white fantasy author at her stature, doing the things that she's doing and highlighting the characters that she's choosing to highlight, like, there's no excuse for anyone else. Like, truly, I get now why people get frustrated at other fantasy. I used to be like, you know, but now I'm like, no, it's easy. It's very easy. It probably takes a lot of effort on her end, but the results make it look very effortless. Mm-hmm. My favorite books from the universe that I read this year, Lady Midnight. That was the first Shadowhunters book I gave 5 stars. It's like a mystery. It's in the Dark Artifices series, and it's so good. Fortunately, you have to read 6 books before you can get to that one, but it's so worth it. Actually, I have to read 9, but anyways. And then Chain of Gold from the Last Hours series, tied with Chain of Iron. Those two books were just so much fun. Cordelia is my favorite girl from the Shadowhunters universe, so I love her. Like, anything she does, I'm like, yes, queen, like, of course. And then City of Heavenly Fire, which is the last book in the Mortal Instruments series. Sophie Turner narrates this. Killed it. She should do more audiobooks. And then lastly, Ghost of the Shadow Market. That book put me through hell.
That book was so fucking good.
Dragged me to hell, kicking and screaming, and I loved it. Every single second of it. I don't know what possessed Cassie Clare to write shit like that. I'm glad she did. It was fantastic. And that's like a collection of novellas that explain some lore within the universe. But like Brandy said, like, some of the best world building. It's so expansive. If you want a project in the upcoming year, you should give Shadowhunters a chance. I think you'll have a lot of fun. And like I said, Cassie, it's a very diverse fantasy series, which I did not expect from the outside looking in. And other authors in her exact position should step it up. So there you go. My number three is the Shadowhunters universe, specifically the books that I mentioned.
Love. What about your number two?
Okay, so my number two is Ready or Not by Cara Bestone. I adore this book. Again, it was like a random find. I was just scrolling on PRH Audio. Thank you, PRH Audio, my bestie. I actually read a lot of books on this list because of you, PRH Audio. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't know, we don't know if we got back into the program yet. So yep. We're like,
hey, guys.
Maybe we'll know by the time this episode comes out. But yeah, I was just randomly scrolling, saw the cute cover, clicked play, and was completely blown away. And from there, I read everything that Cara Bestone has written. So yeah, this is probably my most recommended book this year too, I realized. Like, I was recommending it to everyone. I got my friend Madison, who does not read. She read it and loved it. And that to me was like, oh, I won. Like, I got something. And now it's the book that she recommends to other people. She's like, have you guys read Ready or Not? Like, you guys should read Ready or Not. Like, I'm like, okay, girl, like, you're new to this. You gotta have some variety. But I just loved Eve's journey so much. It's my favorite like surprise pregnancy trope book that I've ever read, and the fact that she was able to connect like everything in Eve's life back to her pregnancy, like something that is so monumental and holds space for people who are like all on very different journeys in their like fertility or just like pregnancy journeys in that book while still making it Eve's story, I thought was just so impressive. And it's so wickedly funny, and the romance is so sweet and tender. And I don't know how Cara Bestone, like, we got to talk to her, but I still don't understand how she builds intimacy the way she does. Like, it should be studied. And I reread this book 3 times, and each time it just got better and better. And I love them. And yeah, Promise Me Sunshine, next year, everyone should read it. I'm so excited. But yeah, there's not a big gap in between 2 and 1. I had to realize that. Like, those are like my children this year.
Yeah.
So
I think my number two is going to be very surprising to you guys.
I was trying to think about it. I was like,
it was pretty surprising to me because I started with just like putting all of these books in no order into a notes app. Mm-hmm. And then I started like moving them around. Like, is this one better than this one? Mm-hmm. Is it better than this? Same, is it better than this? And this one just stayed at number two the entire time.
Do you know what it is?
I have no clue.
Okay.
It's Landline by Rainbow Rowell.
I'm shook. I was like, okay, either it did make her honorable mentions or it just didn't make the list. So love that.
Yeah, I just realized how often I think about this book, and I listened to it on audio and then literally less than a month later needed to physically reread it because, like you guys said about other authors in this episode, like seeing Rainbow do what she does on page, even though her audiobooks are fantastic. Like, especially with Landline, there was something about being able to physically read it and, like, annotate that book. And I annotated the living shit out of that book. I don't know. I just love it so much. I think about Georgie Neal all the time. Just such a unique premise. It's magical realism. This woman has a magical phone in her house that connects to her husband. But before he was her husband, the phone is speaking to him when he was in college, when they were still dating before they were married, but he doesn't know that he's not talking to his present Georgie. I don't know. I am doing a shit job explaining it, but it's just so well done. Love them. Yeah. That's my number two.
Okay. It's time for me to say my top two. Scary.
I think your number two is going to be, because you haven't said Ready or Not yet, have you?
Yes.
You did?
That was my number five.
Oh, girl. My mind went blank.
Wow.
So what's your number two?
I think it's an Ember in the Ashes. I think her number two is an Ember in the Ashes.
What do you want to guess? Or you can guess two or one. Because Brandy said she thinks my number two is Ember in the Ashes. But she is incorrect.
Ember in the Ashes is your number one book of the year?
Let me finish.
Sorry.
My number two is The Wedding People by Alison
Eskridge.
I haven't said it yet.
Yeah.
That has to be hands down one of the, if not my favorite, like literary fiction book that I've like ever read. I don't know. There was something about it that like really touched me in a way, and maybe TW for the next like 30 seconds or so. But I personally have, you know, never really dealt with serious suicidal ideation, but I don't know, the way that Phoebe was like struggling through that. And then I think that the vulnerability that it allowed her, like when you think you're going to end it all, you tend to be a lot more vulnerable with the people that you're around, even if you don't know them, because you're just like, what's the point anymore? You know what I mean? Like, who gives a fuck? But there was a line that really stuck out to me in that book when she says she doesn't see the point in staying alive only to do all the things, only to do all the same things that make her want to die. And I don't know what about it. What about, oh my God, I'm like getting tearing up just thinking about it. I don't know. That just like really touched me in a way. And that book, I just think, was like all about like human connection and starting over. And it was just such a good book. You know? I don't know what else. I just don't know what else to say about it other than that. Anyway, okay. Let me gather myself before I talk about I'm sorry. That was just such a good book, you guys. Anyway, okay. And then my number one, can I have a drum roll, please? It is An Ember in the Ashes by Saba Tahir, which maybe is surprising to you guys, but that series really also took me by surprise. For those that don't know, I read the spinoff book, which is Air by Saba Tahir, on audio. And I like didn't even know at first that it was a spinoff. My bad. I had no idea. I thought it was just like in the same world. I didn't know that it was like really directly connected to it. But no, it was. And I thought there wasn't going to be that many spoilers in it. But there also was. So my bad. Don't do what I did. But I went back and I reread the series. And it's the first book I didn't even realize came out in 2016. The series finished in 2021 or 20, I believe. But yeah, I loved that series, or I loved that series rather so much. I think just as the series went on and the way it just built upon itself, I was like so impressed by, and the characters I was again so impressed by. I've, you know, come out of that series having some of my favorite characters like of all time, which I know if you're only in the first book, like Brandy has finished, is probably surprised by who my favorite character is. But, you know, the way that that series goes, I think.
I kind of hate that bitch right now.
I know. That it's fine. It's fine. It's valid. But I love that series so much. And the stakes in this series are also really, really high. Like Saba, and I know you guys have said this about Cassandra Clare, but she's like not afraid to kill people, which is terrifying, but also it just makes things like, it just keeps you on your toes. And I think it makes it even though it's horrible and it's sad and you hate it, it just like makes it a little bit more exciting, and it makes you truly feel like, oh my God, this is the end of the world if this doesn't happen, you know? So yeah, that's such a great series. Can't sing its praises enough. Great from start to finish. Is there a happy ending? I don't know, you'll have to read to find out. But I'm really excited for the next book in the Air duology as well, which I think comes out next year. So really excited for that. And that my top 10 of the year. Thank you.
I knew that that series was going to be in your top 10, but I kept waiting for you to say it. So yeah. I'm surprised that it's number one, and I'm very excited to continue reading it.
Yay.
I bought the first book.
Wow. And, oh my God. Faith. And Brandy, like when she started it, told me something that completely shook me to my core, which I don't know how I didn't realize it sooner, that the narrator for Elias, one of the main characters, is Shane East, which I didn't even think about, which is crazy.
He goes by Steve West. When he's narrating non-romance books.
Yeah, I just like didn't even, I don't know why, I just like didn't even cross my mind. But now that you've said it, and like if I hear his voice again, I'm like, oh yeah, duh. But that's just like so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great then, list, Kayla.
Thank you. You two have like a fantastic joint number one. You may as well just talk at the same time and just say.
Yeah. My number one is Slow Dance by Rainbow Rowell. The crowd goes silent with shock. I read this book back in February after Kendra finished it. And I have known since then that it was going to be my top book of the year. I wasn't opposed to reading another book that was going to bump it, but I just didn't. I have thought about that book more than any other book this year. I've thought about those characters more than any other characters. I have read it 3 times this year. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else there is to say. I love Shiloh and Carrie. I love the structure of that book. I love
the way that she wrote it. I'm just like staring at my four copies on my shelf. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. Just the way that I know this is the part of the book that Kayla didn't like, but I love how seamlessly she transitioned between the past and present and past and present to build and build and build their relationship until you feel like you have a really full understanding of why Carrie and Shiloh are in the current positions they are in. And it doesn't feel forced or silly or stupid. It's just like, I don't know. But talk about soulmates, those two. Not her baby daddy. Mm-hmm.
Not, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. My top two books, because yes, my number one book is Slow Dance by Rainbow Rowell as well. But yeah, my top two books of the year really prove like your baby daddy is not it. Leave that man in the dirt. Like your soulmate is
your childhood best guy. Friend.
Yes, he's not the stepdad. He is the dad that stepped up. But yeah, Slow Dance is also my favorite book of the year. Rainbow Rowell has been one of my favorite writers since I was a teenager. I discovered her in college, and she has just always hit for me and has carried me through a lot of stuff. And it's funny, this year reading her has been a net positive year for me. So I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I don't have to be going through like the trenches for her to like pop up anymore. But yeah, I love Carrie and Shiloh so much. I love the way that Rainbow writes. I'm so glad that she plunged back into adult romance. We talked about this a lot on the pod this year about how like the current state of the genre is like not our, we still love it, but it's just not our favorite all the time anymore. And I think a book like Slow Dance and a book like Ready or Not, where like the writing is just so top tier, like these are women that like know their craft so well and they're writing romance, I'm like, oh yeah, it's not just like a good romance book that was like the writing is not the best, you know, like I feel like so many of those come across our desk, but like Slow Dance in particular, like this bitch like knows what she's doing and knows how to tell a story so well, and like you can get into like literary devices and like you can pick it apart on a structural level the same way you can on like a story level, and my brain really likes that. And yeah, it moved me so much. It was another nighttime read for me. I remember when I first read it, like every night before bed, I would stay up, and I'm a girl that goes to sleep. Like I'm not going to stay up if it's not 100% captivating me, but I would stay up and my chest would ache and I would just keep going. And each time I've read it, I've gotten that same exact feeling in my chest, and they just never get old. And I love them so much. And also, sorry, Kayla, I know I'm about to start just yapping away. Every time I want to talk a lot, I think of Kayla because I'm like, she's probably like, Kendra, shut the fuck up. Anyways, the character of Carrie is in the military. And as someone whose parents are both in the military, I have never read a book where the military was so real and like did not shy away from like why people in Carrie's position join. Versus like this romanticized version that I think a lot of romance novels rely on when they're dealing with MCs in the military. Like, oh, I'm a combat veteran and I went to Iraq and I killed a whole bunch of dudes and like I stand for this country. Like, that was not the case. Like, this is a guy that like needed to provide for his family and needed like a way
upward
out.
Mobility.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And like that, the exact same for both of my parents. And so like seeing that represented, I was like, damn, like that means a lot to me so much because. And she also didn't shy away, like, the military is also, like, a very horrible place. And, like, there's so many lines that Shiloh says about it. And I'm like, yeah, like, I think that all the time, especially with my parents. So it was really good. And I love them. And they're just one of my favorite couples. And I can't wait to see what Rainbow does next because she is writing, which makes me very happy. Because I told Brandy, you are out of the drought. We were living, if you have been a Rainbow Rowell fan, we have been in a drought for so long.
Because the last book released was Anyway the Wind Blows, right?
Yeah, and that was 2021.
Yeah.
And before that, the biggest drought, I think, was in between Carry On and the second book in that series. You got to pull teeth with her sometimes, but she's back to writing. So that makes me happy. But yeah, I need more of my like literary faves to jump into romance because I think they could really revitalize. I think that's interesting. Both my favorite romances this year are trad published, too. Yeah. Trad was kind of it for me this year.
I have no indie published books in my top 10.
Me neither.
Oh, wait.
I don't either.
I don't either, actually, because, yeah, Lauren Asher is now trad.
I have two debuts on here as well.
Play Along is the only one.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and Daughter of No Worlds is technically indie for me, but that was an honorable mention. So,
yeah. And I still love indie. I need some of these girls to take a writing class. Please, please, please. I will help you. Your local community college needs the my taxes are paying for it. Please. You need they need it. And I know that sounds harsh, but it's true.
So that is our top 10, you guys. Wow, what a year. That is crazy that we're almost done with 2024. Other than like some that we've already said, like Promise Me Sunshine, Left of Forever, Swept Away, what are some other 2025 releases that you haven't read yet that you're excited for? Anything in particular?
You know, I will be sad, obviously, for Emily Henry's next book. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious. I'm going to go in with expectations on the ground so I can be blown away. I think the cover for it is so atrocious, though.
I don't think it's atrocious, personally.
I don't mind the cover. Ugly.
I'm excited. I can't remember the name. Has she released the name yet for the fifth book in Windy City? Liz Tomforti's
book? Yeah, Rewind It Back.
There you go.
Yeah.
Excited for that.
I will be sat for that, too.
Because we've been waiting for his book for forever, for Rio's book.
Controversial. I haven't really been. Okay. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm cool. I feel like everybody's like, oh, my God, Rio. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's like the same with, what's the guy from the Eatons?
Bo?
Dad. No, the dad.
Oh, Harvey.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I want a Harvey book.
No, I don't.
I mean, there kind of is, isn't there? There's like a novella for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like people are like, I want the book. I'm like, you don't need that.
No. Yeah, we're okay. I am excited for Gianna Darling's new trilogy that is coming out. And she has them all written. So they're coming out like boom, 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 2 months apart from each other. It's an MMF book about one of the Lombardi, brother, Elena's brother. Yeah.
That family.
Crazy.
They're on a watch list. Like, I hope they know that. Like, they
the CIA.
They've gone through a lot.
So I am excited about that one. I'm excited about Deep End. I have it sitting on my Kindle, so I'll read it soon. I'm excited about Maisie Edding's new book.
Yes. Oh, me too. That cover looks so good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really like that.
What else is coming out next year? I feel like I don't know anything.
Carly Fortune's new book is coming out next year, and yeah, I'll be sad.
Oh, I'll be sad for that.
I'll be sad, yeah, but be sad I'm... That. Still a little nervous, but I'm sat for it regardless.
Yeah. I'll be sat, but after this girl, we got to pack it up.
No more water.
Pack it up.
No more water.
Okay, unless she commits to being like, because I saw someone compare her to Ellen Hildebrand, where like Ellen Hildebrand's never going to leave like what she's doing. Like she's committed to always going to be on a coastal town. That. So if Carly Fortune is going to say like, that's what I'm doing.
I'm the lake girl.
Fine. I'll deal with it. But the thing is, I think she can do better. I think she would actually have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm also really excited for, I don't think that the sixth book in the Bridge Kingdom series is coming out next year, but if not, then I hope book two in A Fate Inked in Blood, like that series. Yeah. I hope that one's coming out.
Oh, no, it does. I think it comes out in the first quarter of the year.
That makes sense because it came out in February last year.
I think it does.
So I hope those will be coming out. Either of those I would like to read ASAP.
I forgot. She hasn't announced anything yet, but she does have a finished book. Rebecca Ross, because she didn't release anything this year because Ruthless Vows came out at the very end of 2023. So if she releases something in 2025, I'll die. I need her to come back.
When is Adeline Grace's new book coming out?
That one, the brand new series hasn't come out till 2026.
Got it.
But the novella comes out fall 2025. And then we also forgot, and I also forgot the name of this one, the sequel to Honey and Spice by Buluba Balola.
Right, that's what I was gonna say. Okay. Yeah, that comes out, and I'm so excited for that one. Wild and Wrangled by Lila Sage comes out, which I will be seated because
same.
I really enjoyed Lost and Lasted.
Lauren's third book in Lakefront should be coming out next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that
Love
one
arranged.
As well.
Yeah, me too.
Tia Williams's new book.
Yeah. Yes, her YA book.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley Poston has a book coming out called Sounds Like Love. I said this earlier on the pod this season. I have never DNF'd a book so fast in her last book. I got like a chapter and I said, no, I can't do this. So I'm hoping she bounces back because I feel like a lot of people felt the same way about this third book. It just did not hit. Mm. B.K. Borson has a book coming out next year that Brandy, you already read.
Rachel and Solomon's new book. Sure did. Who we met at Steamy Lit. She's so nice. She's so fun to talk to.
The coolest person to talk to. I would love to have her on. We should try to do that.
Also, last one, Scythe and Sparrow by Bryn Weaver. Even though I didn't love Leather and Lark, I am going to remain,
yes,
hopefully optimistic for Scythe and Sparrow.
Agree.
And Oathbound by Tracy Dion comes out, which will probably inspire me to finally read Bloodmarked because I have not.
I need to reread those. I don't remember. I'll have to reread. It's been so long. Yeah. So I definitely need to reread those before that one comes out. But
Wild Side by Elsie Silver comes out.
Oh, yeah, Wild Side. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about the one because the setup in Wild Eyes was really interesting to me. So I'm curious to see where it goes. I'm nervous, but I'm.
Kayla, are you excited for Onyx Storm?
You know,
Iron Flame was the second one.
Garbage, you guys.
Oh,
it was Iron Flame. It was so bad. So I'll wait on that one. You know?
Oh, Brandy, R. F. Kwong has a new book coming out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God. The one about the students going to hell. I'll be reading that one. I'm very excited.
Same.
How do you pronounce it? Catabasis? Catabasis?
You got me.
Wait for the audio. Yeah, I'm looking at a list on
Goodreads right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rebel Witch Crimson Moth number 2 comes out next year.
Kayla's already read that one.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Good. I'm excited for that one.
All right.
Well,
a lot of great books coming out in 2025. A lot to look forward to, you guys. A lot to look forward to.
Yes.
And I am excited to see where we are at in a year, what our top 10s will look like next year. You know?
Yeah, you are hearing it first, people. I think Promising Sunshine will be my favorite book of 2025. I think it'll be so hard to beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it's definitely
now I'm like
it's definitely in my top 5 at like minimum.
Yeah, I can't wait to reread.
Yeah. Have you guys seen those tweets where it's like this is gonna expose that I'm on like a very horny side of Twitter at times when it's like I've never seen a big dick with pre-cum and it's like the dick that's like someone like waiting and all the replies are just poured. So that's me being like, I don't think anyone's gonna beat my Promise Me Sunshine.
Oh my god.
I want to be blown away.
You really are exposing yourself. Jeez.
No, listen. I blame Elon Musk. I never used to see this shit on the timeline, right. But now I do. It's his fault. Okay. No, I'm serious. It's his fault.
Okay.
Also, for those of y'all that don't know, and I'm just stating something that is actually true. I live in Texas. You know, Pornhub is banned here. Yeah,
I did not know that.
I don't know. They like were beefing with the fucking Greg Abbott. Who isn't? But yeah, Pornhub is banned in Texas.
Gotta get it somewhere, I guess.
So all the girls are going on Twitter. Sorry. We all went do on it.
Before you moved to Texas, you were on Twitter.
All right.
I was on Twitter before Texas.
Anyway, you guys, I hope you had a great reading year.
Yes. And if you would like to send us your top 10 lists of the year or top 15, we would love to see them. We would also really love to judge them if you don't mind, because that's kind of our favorite thing to do. Yeah. If you want to send us your top 10 list, we'll put something up on Instagram. Yeah. It might already be up prior to this episode. So if you've already submitted, thank you. We will be judging your top 10 list and we'll probably do a fun little mini episode while we're on holiday break about that. So
And while we're on our holiday break, quote unquote, we will be putting out a few mini episodes to kind of tide you guys over before we fully come back with full length episodes. So watch out for those. And I'll be in a new house by next year. I'm so excited.
Oh, slay.
Brandy will be married next year. And lots of fun things.
Your jaw just dropped.
That's actually terrifying. That's crazy. 2025 is gonna be the best year yet.
Nothing for Kendra. I'm gonna run.
You're running.
So there's a popular line that's like, all our friends are either getting married or having a kid, in Kayla's instance, moving into a new house, or they're running a marathon. So next year I will be training for a half marathon in March and then a full marathon in December, both of which I've already signed up and paid money for. Hell so yeah. I have to commit. But yeah, if you're a fellow runner girl like me, slide into my DMs. I am like obsessed with it now. It's like all I think about and watch content about. I'm on Run Talk, RIP TikTok, won't be here by the time we come back.
Crazy.
Yeah. So those are just, we'll come back next year and talk all about our New Year's goals and stuff, but just a little sneak peek of what's to come.
So fun, you guys. Well, it's been so much fun this year, everybody. We love you. That sounded like we're dying. Like I said, we're coming back. We promise.
Yes. But and you'll see we'll us over here. The break.
Yeah.
And maybe next year, Kayla and will read something that will appease both Brandy and I. And I'm not even saying it has to be Shadowhunters or Rainbow. Like, I just feel like all three of us need like a hit. Because Kayla, that's crazy. I took two L's. I took so many L's with you this year. So I
could say the same about you.
No, you didn't.
Okay. We'll discuss later.
We're
checking
out.
We don't have to discuss right now. Okay. But
love you guys.
Love you guys so much. See you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Spring is in the air, and at Minky Couture, we're celebrating this joyful season with warmth, love, and the softest, coziest blankets. Whether you're cuddling up after an Easter egg hunt or gifting a little extra comfort to someone special, our luxury blankets make every moment even sweeter. From our Minky family to yours, happy Easter. May your day be filled with love, laughter, and all the cozy moments you can dream of. Visit us online at minkycouture.com or stop by one of our stores to find your perfect Minky hug today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.